Good afternoon and welcome to another episode of Salem History Matters, the show that builds a bridge between the rich history of the Willamette Valley and our contemporary lives. Our hope is that the interesting facts that we share will help you appreciate and value our shared history. I'm your host, Deb Meagers. I'm an historian and an author, and I'm passionate about local history, especially how everyday folks lived and worked. Joining me today is our co-host, Christy Van Heukelum, also an author and a professional genealogist who is just as passionate about tracking families and events through history. Today, we're pleased to debut a new rotating segment we're calling Yesterday's Voices, and that's a grand concept that Christy's developing. In these segments, we get the opportunity to chat and with some of the more experienced citizens in our area about their lives here and share their oral histories with our listeners. We hope you'll enjoy these new segments as much as we're enjoying putting them together. Today we have the pleasure to speak with David Roten, a longtime Salemite and a still practicing attorney. Welcome, David.
Welcome to you. Welcome.
Christy, since this is your new baby, why don't you take over and I'll chime in every now and then.
Well, thank you, Deb. It's my pleasure to do so. David, would you please tell us a little bit about your background and that of your family?
Well, I guess I'm a past voice here.
You're a yesterday voice.
I'm 82 years old, and so 82 years ago, I was born, and the year after I was born, the state capitol burned down. And so that's my beginnings, and my family had been in Salem for, oh my goodness, in the early turn of the century. My father was actually born at a family homestead in West Staten in the early 1900s, and then they moved to Salem to the corner of Lincoln High Street in a great big six-bedroom home, and the rest of the family grew up there. My grandfather was an editor of the state at the Statesman for the Sunday newspaper called the Pacific Homestead, but he was involved in his horse and buggy around Northwest enough that he finally became, he bought a dairy out on South River Road, and his children, including my father, worked on the dairy during the summertime and all. We still have the farm out on South River Road.
Wow.
Just beyond Roberts or Illahi, and my kids and my grandkids and my great-grandkids are still enjoying the farm out there. How much of a background, my father was a practicing lawyer. My entire grandfather and grandmother's family graduated from Willamette University, all of them, and it was amazing. And my father commenced to practice law in Salem, Oregon, in about 1924 or 25, and practiced for some 60 years there. Went through high school, grade school at McKinley, as my father and my aunt attended McKinley when it was a junior high school. Then we went to the only Salem High School in town, which is now North Salem High. That's where I met Coralie Doughton, who was a member of a longtime family here. Her uncle was the mayor of Salem.
Was that Doughton Hardware, Doughton
and
Oaks?
Doughton Hardware is the uncle.
Mm, good.
And the mayor, the former mayor, and then his son took in Don Doughton. We performed at Salem High School. She was a fabulous vocalist and continued to be a soloist through the Salem and Mid-Willamette Valley area.
David, your family, who was the original immigrant into Oregon? How long have you had Oregon roots?
My grandmother's father walked the Oregon Trail when he was 6 years old in 1852 or so.
Where did he come from?
And they came from Iowa. And the Roten family, that was the Cannon family, and they wintered in Turner and then went on down to Roseburg. And then my grandfather met my grandmother at the Wilbur Academy, both of them learning, or going to school.
Both of us have family history roots in the Southern Oregon, Douglas County area.
Very good. Yes.
Actually, our line, when you said Cannon, the Cannons moved, married into our line. So,
were those the Wilsons? Or
yes, we were the William Wilson descendants.
So you're telling me that I've got two cousins here?
I think we just found new cousins.
Probably did. Yeah. Well, that's good. Well, I, Coralie and I, my wife, and I would go down with my grandmother, who had all these relatives down there, and anytime the relative was celebrating an anniversary or birthday or just the fact that they're there, we would go down. My grandmother had a Hudson automobile and drove so fast I couldn't believe it. And finally, I just had to take over because the service station guy, when he would give the gas, he'd wipe the windshield, and there were so many bugs on the windshield that he said, maybe you should be driving instead of your grandmother. But the Rotans came out later in the early 1800s, but early 1900s on the train.
Okay.
They didn't come on the
fancier
wagon train.
Gigs, yeah.
And they came from Iowa also.
You said you've pretty much always lived in Salem. What parts of Salem did you live in?
When I was born, we lived on 23rd Street, out State Street, and the street is lined by beautiful linden trees. It was a little English-style house with timbers, across timbers on the front of the plaster and awnings. I have a picture of me in some sort of a cowboy suit in the backyard on the pony, when the pony would come around in the neighborhood and take everybody's picture. But
was
then
that
we
the
moved
north
over.
North or south of State Street?
It would be south of
so
State Street.
So it's in the Cessna neighborhood area now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which and is beautifully tree-lined still.
It's, yes. Mm-hmm. And then my father, my grandfather, they were out in South Salem on High Street at Lincoln. He had a subdivision out there. You're big in subdivisions, Christy. And I think it was my grandfather, a lot belonging to my grandfather that my father bought, actually two lots on Church Street, built the home that I really knew and grew up in, which is right across the street from, at that time, Leslie Park and Leslie Junior High School. But now it's the front entry of South Salem High School.
How I actually met David was when I was researching the E.A. Roten subdivision, because that was a subdivision that the Viescos lived in.
Oh, another connection.
And bought property from E.A. Roten.
Was that area quite rural at that time?
Yes. The city limits, as I understand it, the city limits was Rural Street, Rural Avenue, and went down, and my great-grandparents had an old two-story square homestead home at the bottom of Rural Hill, which is now the athletic area for South High, with a cow. And I actually remember that building, and I remember the cow in the backyard. But beyond that, McKinley School was there when I was born, but when my father was growing up, Rural Street was the city limits.
What other schools did you attend?
Well, I started at Ms. Lilburn's kindergarten, which was a music kindergarten, and then to McKinley, and then to Leslie Junior High School, which was immediately across the street from the school, so all of my buddies would come through our backyard on the alley, and then we'd all go across the street to Leslie Junior High School. And then, graduating there, we went to the high school in Salem, Oregon, which is now North Salem High School. And I, for the first year or so, I think I did that on the bicycle, not the bus, and not a school bus. I don't think I've ever ridden on a school bus, as a matter of fact.
Was that the North Salem High School where it's located now, or Salem High School when it was on the Myron Frank lot?
No. My parents went to the Salem High School that was down the Myron Frank lot. I went to, Coralie, my wife and I went to the regular, what is now Salem High School. Yeah.
You talked about meeting Coralie in productions and activities in high school. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Well, my buddies were all on the basketball team or the football team. I was in the orchestra, in the band with my friend Wally Carson, and I'd plan the entertainment, the halftime entertainment for the band to march on the football fields and things. But then I got into producing shows, reviews and shows on the stage at the high school. Usually I'd call upon my girlfriend's friend who had a good voice, who would be the leads in these programs. My girlfriend graduated and went away to school. Choir director at that point, Howard Miller, said, "David, we have Coralie Doughton, who has a far better voice than your girlfriend's friend, and why don't you start using her in these musicals, in these reviews?" And I did, and she was a smash hit, and she continued to be a smash hit. We concluded our schooling with the Gilbert and Sullivan Mikado, and wow. She played Yum Yum, and I played Coco.
Well, I know that you mentioned that you did a lot of the production in high school, but you were involved in arts long before that, because I think I read somewhere that you were a puppeteer.
Yes. In the early, well, as a matter of fact, my first job was my grandmother hauling me out to the farm on South River Road where my grandfather had a prune orchard. It was prune harvesting time, and by that time I had marionettes and was involved with marionettes, and Hazel's Marionettes in Kansas City, Kansas, was a huge producer of the actual puppets, the marionettes, and a marionette stage with actually footlights.
Wow.
So I was lusting for that stage, and the criteria was that I was going to earn that stage by picking prunes at my grandfather's orchard. Well, the first day, I discovered that I really, really liked prunes, and from that point, I was totally wiped out for at least a week. I couldn't do anything but digest those prunes, but my grandmother brought me back to the orchard. I didn't eat a prune after that, and I earned enough to buy the marionette stage. And at that point, my friend Wally Carson, who is the longest-serving Chief Justice of the Oregon Supreme Court later down the way, and my friend Michael Deeney, who was a neighbor, all friends since kindergarten, and then a good friend Wayne Rogers and I. So we started the three puppeteers, but then we brought Wayne in, and that became four, but we still called ourselves the three puppeteers. And we would give shows throughout the town, regularly down at the Carnegie Library in the children's room in the basement of what is now Willamette, has taken it over at, mm-hmm. by a an office,
kind
law
of
offices
corner
down
of
there.
State and Winter.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
But it was wonderful, and they had cork floors, and I can smell the aroma of the children's room as I speak here. And every Saturday we'd take our portable marionette stage down, and we would have our shows there. And then we would be asked to go in the community, one of the places being what is not now known, but it was then known as the Methodist Home out on Center Street.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, I was enamored by musicals, particularly Oklahoma, Rodgers and Hammerstein, and so we adapted the Oklahoma to the marionettes, and we had our friends did beautiful sets. I still have the cloth backdrop sets of the farmhouse and the barn and mm-hmm. Aunt Eller's churn and things, and we performed Oklahoma using the original cast recording for these shows. When we were booked into the Methodist Home, I think we were in early junior high school at this stage of the game at Leslie. We were booked in, and they said, oh, yes, they have a record player and all, it'd be okay. And so we got there, set ourselves up, and asked where the record player was, and the little ladies were already coming out to sit in this foyer with their on their Davenports and things. And we tried the record player, and it wasn't really a record player. It was a Victrola, and it required records that were twice as thick as the vinyl records that we had as the original cast for Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
And they kept slipping and slipping, and there was no way that we could use that. So because Wally Carson couldn't keep a high note for nothing, Michael and I sang Oklahoma all the way through. Residents at the Methodist Home never knew the difference.
Oh, that's a wonderful story.
That's a great story. Well, you also were a musician in the fact that you played instruments.
They started me at McKinley with a cello, which I thought was, I didn't even know what a cello was. And I went up for a year or so with a cello. Then the folks bought a marimba, a xylophone, a marimba. And I liked that, and I did that through junior high school. Kind of played the piano. There was a show, The Man Who Came to Dinner, that we did in high school, and I played the role of Noel Coward, and he played the piano in the play. And then I did quite a bit of percussion, and my favorite thing was the glockenspiel in the parades, because the band at North Salem High School had a great marching band, and so I was the one at the corner of the whole thing doing the glockenspiel.
So did you do bagpipes too?
Didn't do bagpipes.
Didn't do it. Okay, because I had something that I read that said you might have done that.
Somebody was embellishing.
Tell us a bit about your military career. That kind of changed your life plan, didn't it?
It did. It did. I was at the University of Washington to start my schooling. Then discovered that fellows down at Willamette were dating Coralie, and so I transferred to Willamette then. And about that point, the draft, the Korean draft, was circling, and my academic career, which has always been spotty, was subjecting me to the draft, and so I volunteered for the draft before they drafted me so that I could have a good sequence from a school standpoint. Mm-hmm. Several of my friends all were sworn in on a hot July day and went to Fort Ord, and then Coralie and I were planning to get married after the basic training because I was going to be assigned to the NATO headquarters in Paris, and we'd spend the next 2 years traveling Europe with centered at Paris. Mm-hmm. And then somehow or another the Korean peace treaty didn't get settled as quickly as they wanted to, so they switched my orders to Korea, the only place in the entire world where dependents could not go. Mm. Well, my future mother-in-law was convinced that I'd volunteered to go to Korea to get out of the marriage. Oh. We settled that long after that time. But at any rate, I ended up on the boat to Korea. We were passing the international dateline on Christmas Day. I was convinced that the Army was going to eliminate Christmas, but they fed us a good dinner, and I spent well over a year over in Korea at Incheon. And to those uninitiated, I will say, have you ever seen the movie with MacArthur and Incheon? Well, that's where I was. Well, there was no battle, and the battles were not there. Although the first day I was there, I was on duty, and they had an unidentified aircraft going around, and I decided, well, that's not enough for me, and I immediately got into the personnel office. That's my war experience in Korea.
So when you left the service, you came back to Salem.
Yes.
And then you
enrolled at Willamette University.
Okay.
One more year of undergrad. Mark Hatfield was the dean of, he was the dean of boys, not the dean of men at that point in time. Mm-hmm. Professor Dr. Gatke was the political science professor. Bob Packwood was his senior scholar. As a veteran, everybody looked at me, 22-year-old me, as an old man, and went through the undergrad. In the meantime, I must say, my future mother-in-law was at the bottom of the gangplank when I got off the ship coming back from Korea, and within the month, I was married to Coralie. Coralie at this point had to go, instead of Willamette, she had to go over to Monmouth to get her teacher's degree because they didn't give it to Willamette at that point in time. And she was the queen of the May. So I came home not able really to speak civil English at all. All I spoke was Army Korean, and I had to escort her down the aisle to become crowned the queen of the May over in Monmouth. And I didn't dare say a word for fear of how I might be talking. But shortly after that, we were married at the Methodist Church downtown in Salem, Oregon. And actually, our first house was in Monmouth because she was finishing school there, and I was commuting to Willamette. And we came back here, occupied We bought a house on Fairmont Hill and finished undergrad school, and then went into Willamette Law School.
What were some of the special events or happenings that you remember as a young man?
Well, you've asked me that question, and I don't know how far back you think I was a young man, but the first major event was on my first birthday, April 25th, 1935, when the state capitol burned down, and the whole birthday party, I'm told, went down across the street and watched the dome, the copper dome, fall into itself, while many of my relatives were waiting around in the basement of the Capitol building trying to get records out. But then, over the years, if that's really what you're asking, there were really some extraordinary things. There was a bridge, the twin bridges that came along. There was a Guardian building, five-story Guardian building that burned down.
I've seen beautiful pictures. I mean, it was at night.
Yes.
And it was just as glorious as the Capitol building.
And all the doctors were in the guardianship building, or Guardian building. And so that was extraordinary.
A little of your lawyerese just slipped in there, didn't it?
Pardon me?
Guardianship, a little of your lawyerese
I'm sorry. Yes, you're right.
We did a show a couple episodes ago on the Cherry Festival. So
yes.
Do you have memories of that?
I do have very good memories of that. All these guys in white uniforms and their straw flat hats.
The Cherians.
The Cherians and the parades. That's one of the sad things. We had the parades. We had floats. We had the Cherian floats. Wally Carson was always able to ride on a float. I don't think I ever rode on a float, but the Cherry Festival was a big deal, and cherries themselves were a big deal. I never picked cherries, but the valley was covered with cherry orchards at that point in time, and it was a very special thing in Salem, Oregon.
I kind of wish we still had some of those signature events that continued every year, and we could have a parade and something that people enjoyed and looked forward to.
Yes.
We missed that.
When I was in the early days at the family law office, our bookkeeper was a WAC, was a retired WAC from the Women's Army, and she marched in the Salem Veterans Day Parade. And she would look at the lawyers there, my father and uncle and others, and say, "We're going to close this office because you are going to come down and watch me in the Veterans Day Parade." So they said, "Yes, ma'am," and they went down. And from that day, I've always had the office closed on Veterans Day. Speaking of that, incidentally, you know, Albany has the world-famous Veterans Day celebration.
Yes.
For 2 years, they had Jimmy Doolittle over there as their grand marshal, and Coralie went over and sang the Star Spangled Banner for Jimmy Doolittle each time.
Oh, how wonderful.
Oh, what a nice memory.
Well, I can obviously tell that you're going to have way more things to share than we have enough time for in this episode. And I'd really like to ask you if you could come back for another episode. Would you be willing to do that?
Well, I'm shy. And modest,
yes, we're seeing your shyness.
But if you press me, I will.
Well, thank you. We'll do that.
All right.
Thanks, David.
Thank you.
We hope you'll visit with us again soon. In the meantime, you can find notes and pictures about each episode on our Salem History Matters blog at salemhistorymatters.org. There you'll also find more information about local history and some interesting links you might want to check out. We welcome your suggestions for topics for future shows. We'd love to hear what interests you. You can contact us through the website or email us at salemhistorymatters@gmail.com. We thank you for joining us today on Community Radio KMUZ Turner, Salem, and 88.5 and 100.7 FM. We're so looking forward to having you back with us next time as we blend our rich history into our everyday lives. Until then, take care. Take time to notice our many historic treasures. They're all around us.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.